Good morning. It is February the 15th, 2026, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is No Longer Strangers. My first reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 16 through 19. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God and that you will walk in obedience to him, that you will keep his decrees, commands, and laws, that you will listen to him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession as you promised, and that you are to keep all his commands. He has declared that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God as he promised. And my second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. No longer strangers. I'm going to highlight verse 19 from Ephesians chapter 2. Quote, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. For those who are listening, I want you to reflect and think about that verse for a few moments. And in particular, this one clause, no longer foreigners and strangers. I cannot count the times that I have thought about family members who I have known a literal lifetime, and how different and even strange they are. Why? Because I don't understand their way of thinking. And this is true from siblings sometimes, to cousins, to grandparents, and to my own parents as well. I'm sure all of us can identify with what I'm saying as it pertains to understanding our family. Now, if you're a parent, you cherish and love your children, watching them grow up, and yet there comes a moment when you don't completely understand your children, especially in their teenage years. And you might ask your child, your son or your daughter, what are you doing? What are you thinking when you made that decision or you acted in a certain manner? Children, conversely, on the other hand, can look at their parents and just laugh or scratch their head and walk away, thinking, boy, I don't understand mom or dad, or I don't understand the decisions they've made, or even my grandparents. Now let's switch from children and parents to marriage. If you've been in a marriage for any number of years, maybe it's been a lifetime for some listeners, and yet at some key points it might seem like you're strangers. And that's because of personality and temperament, maybe because of likes and dislikes. We don't always mirror and parrot and mimic our spouse. Now let's go from another vantage point. Let's think about the church that you are a member of or that you worship in. You've known that you've been a part of that church and you've known the people for years. But then for whatever reason, that church that you've known for years, maybe you've been a lifelong member, they make the decision to change its doctrine. Not only do they change its doctrine, but the polity of that congregation, which is a nice fancy word for government, is changed as well. And not only is the polity changed, but also its style of worship. And maybe the most disconcerting of all changes for some people are the societal sympathies that the church now supports and agrees with. And in that change, there's often grief and heartache and sadness and sometimes anger. Interestingly, and really thought-provoking, is how Paul the Apostle writes that we are no longer strangers, that Christ has destroyed the wall or barrier that separates us one from each other, and not only from each other, but also with Almighty God. And then he states emphatically that we are no longer strangers. Folks, that is a beautiful and strong affirmation for the believer in Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever been in a large crowd? And even though you're surrounded by people, you feel alone because you really don't know anyone there. But then in that large gathering of people, you run into someone there and you start talking, and there is a connection and a feeling like you've known that individual for a lifetime, and you talk the night away. Now, maybe it could be a new love interest. Maybe it's a new coworker that you really gravitate towards and you agree on so many things. Maybe it's just someone with similar interests and hobbies or possibly political views. In either circumstance, you click and it goes smoothly. Paul Tillich was considered one of the most prominent theologians of the 20th century. And you could categorize him as a neo-Orthodox theologian. He was a German Lutheran minister, and not surprisingly, in his wealth of knowledge and life experience, he made an astute and correct observation. And I'm going to paraphrase this observation. He said, "The tragedy of our time is mankind's estrangement from himself, from others, and from God." Paul writes to an audience that by lifestyle and birth was completely separated from God's chosen people and all the accompanying blessings that were associated with Israel. Paul writes to a church that in some ways before Christ they were strangers to themselves. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. You know, people can go through a lifetime and believe that they don't truly know themselves. There's a part of me that understands that, but there is another part of me that just scratches their head, and I'm like, how do you not know yourself? Now, maybe that indecision or that unfamiliarity with the self has to do with unrealistic expectations of what they can and cannot do, of what they can accomplish and what they cannot accomplish. Maybe these individuals are afraid or timid of being wrong and making a mistake that could impact them personally or professionally. Or maybe they feel that they are above others, and that they are so much better and higher up than the riffraff surrounding them, whether it's in their community or in their school or where they work, or maybe even some family members. Regardless, there's the truth that they need to understand and realize their true condition. To use the analogy from the game of baseball, no one bats 1,000. If a batter hits 3 out of 10, he's hitting 300. that's 30%, and for baseball, that's fantastic. Now, to make this point about no one batting 1,000, at one time, this man held the record for home runs, but he also held the record for the most strikeouts. And if you are a baseball aficionado, you know the answer to that is Babe Ruth. So, using that as a metaphor and as an illustration, no one is perfect, which means theologically that no one is sinless and without need of a loving Savior and Lord. Now let's switch over to medicine. When the diagnosis is correct and spot on, and the remedy cures the sickness, it's then that we find health and vitality, and it's then that we find relief. And it is then, using this notion of being a stranger to ourselves, that we are no longer a stranger to ourselves, pretending to be something we are not or never have been. This notion of being a stranger to others. Now, I read, and I don't know if this is factually true, but there is supposedly only one man-made structure on Earth that can be seen by the human eye from outer space. Anyone want to venture a guess? It is supposedly the Great Wall of China. A wall. What could be the better metaphor for human nature and how separated and distant we are from other human beings? A wall. God created human beings for fellowship. Fellowship with one another. That's why Eve was created, for fellowship for the first man, Adam. But God also created human beings to have fellowship with himself. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We are social creatures. That is how God has made us. And yet in our separation and distance and barriers that exist between human beings, Paul writes the following. For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. That's verse 14 from Ephesians 2. Now, contextually and historically, Paul the Apostle was talking about the great separation that existed between Jews and the Gentile world and how that played itself out in daily living. At a bare minimum, at a very high level, there was a fundamental religious difference between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were an anomaly in human history. They believed in one God that you could not see, touch, or smell, one God that you could not use human artwork as a manifestation of the divine, a God that you could not pronounce the proper name. So the beliefs of Judaism versus Gentile pagan polytheistic beliefs were insurmountable. They were a huge gulf. Not only that, you had different customs and dress. Those customs and dress centered around the Sabbath, a sacred day set apart. Those customs and dress talked about modesty. Then you had the differences between food and language, between Hebrew and any other Gentile language of the day in error. You had kosher laws. You had foods that were acceptable for practicing pious Orthodox Jews. And then you had foods that the Gentiles ate. And then you certainly had different holy days, sacred days of time set apart. Not just the Sabbath, but high holy days, Yom Kippur. Those are just brief differences that existed between Jews and Gentiles. So using that as a backdrop, we know that sometimes, even in our local church, we can be strangers to one another. In some churches, people come in and leave in the blink of an eye. They're like ninjas. They choose not to be known by other people, and they don't want to be known. And that is their prerogative. They go to worship. They participate in worship. They come in quietly, and they leave just as quietly. Maybe one of the greatest blessings that can be found in a local church is that it can truly become a fellowship, a community of faith and doctrine, a family that sincerely loves and cares for each other because its members are no longer strangers. That is the key. Now, I realize we have different needs, and maybe privacy is one of them, and I get it. I truly do. Some people are not the touchy-feely kind. Some people want to keep anonymity. They want to keep things private, and I can respect that. But other people are the exact opposite. They tell you their life's history and all their sordid sins within the blink of an eye. And you're thinking, I didn't need to hear that, but they do it. Now, there were times when Jesus needed to be alone, or maybe his disciples needed to be alone with him. So he told them to go away to a desert place, a quiet place. But we also realize that not only did Jesus need his time for himself, but he also reached out to all kinds of people. That was the purpose of his ministry. That he healed people who had demons. He cleansed people who were lepers. He encouraged and forgave tax collectors. And he healed the woman who had an issue of blood that made her unclean. Those are just a brief example of the ways that Jesus interacted with people who were in need. So Christ gives us the ability to see other people as people and not necessarily as strangers. People like us needing hope, needing forgiveness, needing friendship, and most certainly needing redemption, just like we do. Maybe the greatest and profound tragedy of all is when we are strangers with Almighty God. It's bad enough we're strangers to ourselves. It's not surprising that we are strangers from others. But what a profound tragedy when we are strangers to Almighty God. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Skipping down to verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. This morning, in our small local church, we have had the blessings of 6 people joining our congregation. And I don't know if they realize this, but they are going against the stream of popular culture. And for that, I am grateful. What do I mean? I mean they are actually joining a church and becoming a member. They're not just sitting in the pews. They're not on the periphery. They're not in the back. They've decided to become a member of this congregation and what it affords them. But you know what? When you think of the church, people have different reactions. And there are many people today that have decided not to join a church, or maybe they have withdrawn themselves from a church, or maybe they've decided they are no longer going to be a part of a local church, and that's too bad. For some people, I'm going to use the illustration of sports. Football in the fall, hockey and baseball in the winter, baseball in the spring and summer. I have been an avid sports fan, primarily football, my entire life. But you know what? I've had it with sports. I quit this business of sports once and for all. You won't be able to get me near one of those playgrounds or one of those arenas or one of those stadiums. And you want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Every time I went to a sporting event, they asked me for money. The people with whom I had to sit with didn't seem very friendly. The seats were too hard, and they weren't comfortable at all. You know, I went to many games, but the coach never came to call on me. The referee made a decision which I could not agree with at all. I suspected that I was sitting with some hypocrites, They came to see their friends and what others were wearing rather than to actually see the game itself. You know, some games even went into overtime, and I was late getting home. You know, the band played some numbers that I'd never heard before, and I didn't appreciate that. It seems that the games are scheduled when I want to do other things. Why is that? I was taken to too many games by my parents when I was younger, and now since I'm grown up, I've decided not to go to any games. Lastly, I don't want to take my children because I want them to decide when they get older what games they're going to go to. I think most of you know that is a fictitious story, but it's also true, sadly, to the point as well for many people. To summarize this message, in Jesus Christ, we meet both God and man. That incarnation, that divinity, it's very difficult for us to understand. We just can't comprehend that twofold nature, both man and God. And yet he helps bridge the gap for us. He helps us to come closer to an understanding of the divine and the human. He tears down the wall of hostility that separates us from other people, that separates us from Almighty God, and maybe, just maybe, it separates us from ourselves. The best way to get to know someone is not by being a stranger. And I am so glad that you and I are no longer strangers as well. Amen.